I Hate the News is the weekly news bulletin from I Hate Politics podcast, a show about a human activity we love to hate. I am Sunil Dasgupta. The week of April 2nd, 2024, will the Key Bridge collapse upend priorities in Maryland? The governor's housing bill to expand supply falters. Protesters heckle Congressman Jamie Raskin over the Gaza war. And how good is school testing data? Music for this episode comes from Baltimore area jazz musician Seth Kaibel's album, Clarinet Flicks and Chill. Kaibel on clarinet, flute, and tenor saxophone. Ellington Carthan on piano and keys. Christy McDonald on the electric guitar. Elliot Seppa on the double bass, and Joey Antico on the drums. You can find their music at sethkaibel.com. When the container ship Dolly hit and destroyed the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore in the wee hours of March 26th, did it change the course of the state of Maryland? Governor Westmore certainly believes it did. Rebuilding the bridge itself will take several years. The port is shut down. Estimates of port workers and related labor out of work vary between 8 and 15,000. The supply chain of light trucks, one of the major imports at the Baltimore port, will be disrupted. The cruise industry is disrupted. But most devastatingly, 6 road workers, all Central American immigrants, are dead in the water. 5 of the 6 dead have been identified. Alejandro Hernandez Fuentes, Dorlian Roniel Castillo Cabrera, Miguel Luna, Maynor Suazo Sandoval, and Jose Minor Lopez. The casualties would have been much higher had it not been for the road crew's presence on the bridge, which came with a police escort at the two ends of the bridge. When power failed on the Dolly, the local harbor pilot guiding the ship didn't waste time. According to the National Transportation Safety Board, he took out his cell phone and called the Port of Baltimore, who called MDTA, the Maryland Transportation Authority, who got the troopers to shut down the traffic to the bridge within minutes. Here is the radio communication.
I need one of you guys on the south side, one of you guys on the north side, hold all traffic on the Key Bridge. There's a ship approaching that just lost their steering. So that until they get that under control, we got to stop all traffic.
Yep, we're all on the route to the south side.
This is West direction.
I'm holding traffic now. I was driving, but we stopped prior to the bridge, so I'll have all out of the traffic stopped.
10-4, is there a crew working on the bridge right now?
And it's less than a minute before we hear this.
213 dispatch, the whole bridge just fell down. Start is whoever, everybody. The whole bridge just collapsed.
10-4, dispatch is direct.
That's correct.
There's time.
Do we know if all traffic was stopped?
I can't get to the other side, sir. The bridge is down.
Because the police was able to stop traffic coming onto the bridge, no cars flew off the bridge ramp into the water. But worth remembering that had the road repair crew not been there, their police escorts would not have been there either, and the bridge traffic wouldn't have stopped so quickly. Even before the bodies could be recovered, the dark underside of bigotry opened up, leading Baltimore Senator Charles Sidnor to say this on the floor of the Maryland General Assembly.
There's this line of commentary where people have blamed this tragedy on diversity, equity, and inclusion. Utah Republican gubernatorial candidate Phil Lyman said that the collapse of the bridge is a result of governors who prioritize diversity over the well-being and security of citizens. A Florida Republican congressional candidate said DEI did this. And there are more comments out there similar to these. They attack our sole black appointees to the Port Authority like Sandy Roberts and Corinthia Barber for their lack of knowledge surrounding the port. They attack Mayor Brandon Scott as a DEI mayor. To falsely equate diversity with a lack of knowledge and our blackness with incompetence is simply a lie. It does not matter to some of these people that the aforementioned were duly appointed or duly elected. Why? Because many of these folks don't believe that me and my colleagues should hold the offices that we hold or even should be voting in the first place. Mr. President, I cannot tell you how frustrated that I am that these people stain a tragedy that we are all attempting to address with such bigotry. Now, I'll take my seat, but I want to quote an iconic question. Am I not a man and a brother? Thank you.
Following Sidnor's comments, Governor Moore called the criticism foolishness. As things go, aside from the repeated power failures on the Dali, the tragedy was extraordinarily well handled. The harbor pilot acted quickly. The Maryland Transportation Authority Command Center and the police units also come out of this having done their jobs well. The insurance payouts, hefty as they are likely to happen. And President Biden has pledged full federal support and funding for the new bridge, which, as a section of I-695, is part of the interstate system that is 90% funded by the federal government. Just a week later now, the captain of the Port of Baltimore has announced reopening of a channel northeast of the bridge that will allow a narrow and shallow channel for essential vehicles to exit out of the port. The financial markets have not registered a major blip. Gas prices went up and came back down. Perhaps the most significant impact will be on the state budget. The governor and the assembly are tapping the state's rainy day fund to support workers who have lost income due to the port's closure. Also in the Maryland General Assembly, the governor's proposed bill expanding affordable housing supply is stuck. First, the House of Delegates struck two key parts of the bill and was late in sending it to the Senate before crossover, which means that the Senate Rules Committee must now approve before it goes to the floor. And there are reports now that there is considerable background horse trading over whether single-family zoned areas near transit hubs will be compelled to accommodate higher density affordable projects. Delegate Vaughn Stewart, chair of the Land Use and Ethics Subcommittee of the Transportation and Environment Committee, was the floor manager for the bill in the House.
On House Bill 538, which is the governor's zoning and land use related bill, the House made about a dozen changes, but there are three major ones. The first thing we did was to lower the affordability requirements in the bill. The reason that was done is to ensure that by shooting for affordability, we weren't making it impossible to build anything at all. The second big change we made is that we struck the language in the bill that dealt with the adequate public facility ordinances that many counties across the state have adopted. These allow counties to block new housing in the name of infrastructure capacity, including school capacity. As the bill came in, it would have prohibited counties from deploying APFO to block housing if the project was funded by the state's housing agency or by the low-income housing tax credit, which is a form of federal subsidy. The House committee and my subcommittee debated a lot on that topic and ultimately decided to strike the entire section. Not because everyone was satisfied with the APFO status quo, but because we thought that conversation deserved more study and more review than we would be able to do in just a couple of subcommittee meetings. The third major change we made to the bill is for only the transit-oriented piece, we exempted neighborhoods that are currently zoned single family from added density. As the bill came in, if you are currently zoned single family and you're a qualified project, missing middle would be an available option. And if you're currently zoned multifamily, there would be up to a 30% density bonus if you're one of the three qualified projects in the bill. The House decided to exempt neighborhoods that are currently zoned single family and that are near transit from the missing middle requirements. This was not my favorite amendment, but it was done in response to a lot of concerns about added density in existing single family neighborhoods. The good news for people that don't like that amendment very much is that I know the Senate is working on a change that would in some cases allow for missing middle development in single family neighborhoods.
Something will pass the Senate, and then it is back to the House, but it is not the bill the governor proposed. It is, however, the first time the state is actually weighing in on a local zoning issue. Montgomery County's 8th Congressional District Representative Jamie Raskin is being increasingly heckled by progressive groups for what they believe is his tepid call for ending the conflict in Gaza. Last week, his lecture at the University of Maryland was disrupted by protesters. This audio is from the Instagram account MCPS for Palestine. No.
We're going to talk about it. Thank you for coming.
All for the United States to stop arming Israel, to stop running this genocide, to end
nobody here is in favor of genocide.
To end this mass murder of Palestinians in Gaza. Your constituents disagree. We don't want...
You disagree with what? My votes?
We don't want any upcoming funding in military aid for Israel. We don't want...
Okay. All right. You've made your position clear. Thank you for coming tonight. And we everybody thank you for coming. And now please either stick around and be quiet or go home or go disrupt something else.
Raskin's position on the Gaza war has contrasted with that of Maryland Senator Chris Van Hollen's pointed criticism of the Netanyahu and the Biden administration, and that of David Trone, Maryland's U.S. Senate candidate, who has spoken out strongly in favor of Israel and who Raskin opposes in favor of Angela Alsobrooks. Maryland State Department of Education has just released its report card for 22-23, and school districts are parsing that data for what they can learn from it. And here is something crazy. According to a MCPS presentation to the Montgomery County Council's Education and Culture Committee, less than 10% of MCPS 10th graders are supposedly college and career ready in English and math. This is a data fail. There is no way only 10% of the county's sophomores are English and math ready. MCPS is reporting that of the 13,569 10th graders in MCPS in 22-23, only 1,271 students were college and career ready. Break it down, and 26.7% of Asian students in the system and 15.4% of white students in the system and infinitesimal percentages of Black and Latino students actually made the cut. I'm not clear how they are arriving at these numbers. One possibility is that students do not take seriously the MCAP state test because it doesn't count toward their graduation or their grades. We will continue to follow. Are you ready to watch the solar eclipse on April 8th? You can find reliable watch information at transportationops.org/eclipse. That's all for this episode. Be sure to tune in here at I Hate Politics this Friday for our big feature interview. I Hate Politics is produced by me, Sunil Dasgupta, and assistant producers Daniel Galeo, Katarina Gasek, and Catherine Amaya Escobar, with support from University of Maryland, Baltimore County. I direct UMBC's political science program at the universities at Shady Grove in Montgomery County, where, among other things, we explore and learn about politics, government, and society close to home. Music for this episode comes from Baltimore area jazz musician Seth Kaibel. The songs are from his album Clarinet Flicks and Chill. If you want to share your music on the show or know someone else who might want to, please email us at producer@ihppod.org. See you next time.